全球趋势、产业发展、政府政策还是时事议题，你想听的都在安永 Easy Talk， 陪你轻松面对企业大小事。
各位听众大家好，欢迎来到安永 Easy Talk， 我是安永联合会计师事务所国际及并购重组税务咨询服务的执行总监冯伟琪 Jeremy。
各位听众朋友大家好，我是税务服务部营运长刘慧文 Heidi。 今天我们继续要和我们远从美国来的宾客，安永美国国际及并购重组税务咨询服务的合伙人 Jason Yan 聊聊目前也是一个很热门的税务议题BEPS 2.0 的 Pillar 2。 Jason 是我们安永美国 Pillar 2的重要支柱，所以我们要来和 Jason 请教美国对于 BEPS 2.0 Pillar 2的实施计划和影响。
谢谢，大家好，我是 Jason Yan。
听众朋友大家如果有收听上回安永的 Easy Talk， 就是我们和 Jason 和 Heidi 在讨论美台快速双重税收减免法案的进度和影响时呢，Heidi 有提到支柱2就是 Pillar 2和它可能会是组织重组时需考量的一个议题哦。那我们今天想借着 Jason 还在台湾的这个机会呢，和他讨论支柱2在美国的发展和进度。那在开始前，我先粗略的解释一下支柱2 Pillar 2是什么。它就是一个要求一家集团年营收达到 7.5 亿欧元的公司呢，在世界每个地区的税负在经过 Pillar 2很复杂的调整计算后呢，有效税率至少要有 15%。 那如果没有到达 15% 呢，就要补税了。那以台商企业来说呢，一般有两种可能补税情境哦。一种是集团在某一个国家有效税率没有到达 15%， 但这个国家有实施合格最低税负制，就是大家我们常听到的 QDMTT，那补税就在当地就补完了，没事了。但第二种呢，是集团在某一些国家有效税率没有到 15%， 那些国家又没有实施支柱2，那这补的税呢，就会由集团架构里其他的公司在他们所属有实施支柱2的国家去做补税。所以我们说，我们帮台商企业做租税规划时候呢，往往第一步就是看他们的组织架构里的公司在哪一些国家，他们有没有实施支柱2，再进行支柱2相关税务规划。
对，多数达到营收门槛的台商组织架构里面多半都有美国的投资，所以美国有没有实施 Pillar 2、 时间为何，在台商策略的布局上影响都蛮重大的。 Jason， So we know that most European countries have started to implement Pillar 2,And many Asian countries will also start in 2025 as well. But for US and China, the two largest world economies are undecided. Is this strange? What are the reasons they're holding back?
Thank you, Heidi. The Biden administration strongly supported Pillar 2. However, in the US, we would need Congress to pass laws to implement Pillar 2. Currently, Republicans, which is the political party,that is opposite to the Democrat Party, which is where President Biden is from. Republicans currently control one house of Congress, which is the House of Representatives. In addition, they have the ability to block many items of legislation in the Senate due to how the rules of the Senate work, even though they are in the minority. So far, Republicans have been strongly opposed to Pillar 2. From their view, Pillar 2 undermines U.S. sovereignty,on tax affairs, and in addition, it puts the U.S. at a disadvantage relative to other countries. Therefore, they have not supported any action to adopt Pillar 2 in the United States.
I see. 听众朋友可能知道，美国共和党目前是控制着美国国会众议院嘛，他也有能力在参议院去阻止立法。共和党强烈反对支柱2，那认为它损害了美国的主权，并使美国处于不利的地位。那 Jason, do you think there will be any solutions to this?
This is a very difficult question to answer. It depends on quite a lot of things happening in the future, which we do not know. First and foremost, who wins the election in November of 2024? Is it President Biden or whoever the Democrats' nominee is?Currently, like former President Trump. Also depends on who takes over the House of Representatives as well as the Senate. both of those institutions are up for grabs between Republicans and Democrats. Certainly, if Republicans were to sweep and take over Congress as well as retain the presidency, I would expect more likelihood of the U.S. to take efforts to adopt Pillar 2, although I would still say it is not a given, because even among Democrats, there are questions about Pillar 2 and the effect it has on U.S. companies. Certainly, if Democrats were to take over either House of Congress, or certainly if they took over the presidency, it's very difficult to imagine them supporting Pillar 2 or taking efforts to enact it. If that's the case, then that raises the question of whether the UTPR, which is the rule in Pillar 2 that effectively allows countries to impose taxes, including on U.S. companies, if they are below 15%, will the UTPR force or pressure the U.S. to act and to adopt Pillar 2? Alternatively, Republicans have threatened retaliation against other countries that impose the UTPR. And will they move forward with those threats and use the U.S.'s enormous economic influence to prevent other countries from ever imposing the UTPR? If that were to happen, it certainly raises the question for the viability of whether Pillar 2 can move forward without the UTPR being in effect.
好，了解，谢谢 Jason。刚才 Jason 提到的 UTPR， 简单的说，就是在支柱二下的一种补税方式。比如说，台湾母公司因为一些税收的优惠，税率只有 14%， 离全球最低税负制 15% 还差 1%。那这个 1% 的差异，可能在集团所在的其他地区会被课征。比如说，有实施 UTPR 国家的荷兰子公司。所以我们可想象，如果美国企业总税率 overall 是低的，实施支柱二很有可能会增加他们的税负，而且收税的可能还不是 Uncle Sam。当然在美国会有反对的声浪。Therefore, Jason, from Taiwanese companies' perspective, the fewer countries adopting Pillar 2, the better. Maybe Taiwan companies will downsize their subsidiaries in Pillar 2 countries or move to non-Pillar 2 countries to reduce their overall impact.However, as the U.S. is such a big market and Taiwan companies generally need to set up entities there to serve their customers, it is not easy to retreat from the U.S. Do you know when we'll know whether the U.S. will adopt Pillar 2 and any timeline?
This is very difficult to say, Heidi. I think we know that nothing will happen this year in 2024 because it is an election year and we do not expect any major items of new legislation to be passed.Through the election. In 2025, after the inauguration of the new president or inauguration of the reelect, the existing President Biden, we do expect that there will be major tax legislation. And that is because there are numerous very important tax provisions in the existing U.S. code that will expire and result in an increase in tax rates for many U.S. companies and individuals. We expect that will force Congress to likely pass a new tax bill in 2025, the U.S. will likely have a debate about whether to adopt some form of Pillar 2 during that time. But it is very uncertain to say what the outcome of that debate will be and whether Congress takes any steps to adopt Pillar 2 at that time.
这样听起来，美国是要等到2025才会知道会不会实施 Pillar 2。或只是实施 Pillar 2部分的条文，而且甚至会涉及报复的策略哦。那我相信这些都会增加 OECD 未来在支柱二规则上修改的可能。
各位听众朋友，有没有发现今天我们并没有讨论 Pillar 2的内容，什么 IIR、UTPR 还是 QDMTT， 还有一些调整项？真的因为 Pillar 2真的太复杂了。
对，这的真的是。
对，所以。这个 Pillar 2真的有不少的条文，是美国税的概念，也很复杂，可以做不同的选择，或是什么 election。今天我们读 Pillar 2的条文，其实蛮辛苦的，就算是学税或是财会的，也没有那么容易。所以我们如果在 podcast 里面讨论的话，可能不到三分钟，听众朋友就会 switch 了。So Jason, do you think OECD will simplify the rules?I actually think people who work in the finance or tax department as an auditor or even at the tax authority would have a headache when they calculate or review the calculations. Also, another question. If some of the tax authorities in some countries do not understand the complex rules, will companies potentially be double taxed? Can tax treaties today protect such double taxation?
That's a great question. I think there are some elements of the rules that the OECD is looking to simplify or at least provide some safe harbors. But overall, unfortunately, I do not think the OECD will or can even simplify the rules. To the contrary, I think the rules will probably become even more complex than they already are. Once you've established that you are going to have something like a global tax that utilizes financial accounting, that concept is inherently complicated. And to make sure that irrational and strange results do not apply or do not arise when you apply financial accounting concepts requires introducing and adopting lots of new rules to make adjustments from financial accounting to tax. And that creates even more complexity as we see the introduction of all these new rules. Heidi, you're absolutely right. There is a risk of double taxation if the countries do not consistently apply the rules. I think if you were to ask the OECD and if you read these documents, the intent is that there is never double taxation. But we've never had global tax rules of this scale and breadth that require so much cooperation and consistency among various countries. And you're absolutely right. It is not at all clear that our existing tax treaty network is sufficiently capable of preventing and resolving disputes and preventing double taxation. Now, the OECD has said that they are going to do more work on developing the mechanisms for resolving disputes, which I think will go a long way to ensure that there is no double taxation. And there has been some talk that maybe one day the world will need some sort of multilateral treaty or convention to implement Pillar 2 in a consistent way. But I would say, Heidi, actually, right now, these questions about dispute resolution seem to be on the lower priority for the OECD as they are focused on developing new rules and amending the rules to react to issues that have arisen. So we really don't have a good sense right now as to how the dispute resolution mechanisms will work to prevent double taxation.
Understand.
所以听众朋友，我们不预期 OECD 呢会简化最低税负制的规则。相反的，为了避免不合理的结果呢， OECD 可能需要引入新的规定，所以相关规定可能会变得更加的复杂。但听众朋友要注意的是，如果各国对于规定的应用存在差异，那会大幅增加公司被双重课税的风险。而且目前呢，租税协定是否能够防止这种双重课税，目前并不清楚。那我们会觉得与其事后去和主管机关要回多缴的税，我觉得不如事先规划降低自住而的影响或是双重课税的可能比较实际。 What do you think, Jason?
Yes, of course, I'd agree with that.
Okay, so Jason, it's now 2024 and many countries have started implementing Pillar 2. What last words would you share with the audience as they tackle the challenges of Pillar 2?
Sure.I recommend that companies don't simply hope that the rules don't come into force. At this point, Pillar 2 has been enacted and in force in numerous countries, and those countries are counting on the revenue that they expect to collect under Pillar 2. In my view, Pillar 2 is here to stay in some form or another, and Pillar 2 is going to require an enormous change to how the tax departments approach issues.There is a lot of new data required that we've never had to grapple with in a tax department. The rules are incredibly complex, as you already noted, Heidi. In particular, the way that they require you to layer on accounting concepts, such as deferred tax accounting, with tax concepts simply to compute your Pillar 2 liability. I think companies are going to need to dedicate significant internal resources to tackle these challenges.And they need to start very soon in order to find out and identify where the data and technical gaps are for them to comply with these new rules.
Thank you, Jason. 总而言之呢 ,Pillar 2不仅在概念上在计算上是复杂的 ,Pillar 2还需要一些新的数据资料那以前公司可能没有或者没有准备的所以我们建议达到营收门槛的公司呢或是快要达到门槛的一定要分配足够的资源资源包含预算啊人力和时间来分析公司还需要做什么 才能符合支柱二在计算上或者是不久的将来申报上的要求。那今天非常谢谢 Jason 和 Heidi 的分享哦，让我们知道美国 Pillar 2的进度和 Pillar 2可能带来的影响。也谢谢各位听众的收听，安永 Easy Talk， 我们下次再见。
谢谢 Jason， 拜拜，
拜拜。